Welcome to our new series, Cool Friend. For our first episode, we have the coolest of friends, Matt Cronin. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, Zach. Good to have me. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we did an interview a long time ago when it was pre-recorded, and it was like Gear Garage episode 30, probably like 4 years ago. This new segment is live, so people can ask questions. I have some questions I want to ask.
Sure.
And it's something we want to do because we've had a lot of requests for interviews. And so we're going to try to do sort of more of this style of thing, not on a regular scheduled basis, whenever they come up. So with that, let's get, I'm going to start with some questions and then we'll just see where this goes.
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. The first one I have for you, I think I've asked you this before. Are you a rafter, a creature crafter, or a duckier? Which one are you?
I'm the type of whitewater boater that just gets irritated at anyone that pigeonholes themselves into one. The only thing I don't do is kayak. That's because years ago I had a friend teach me how to roll, and I didn't like being upside down. So I learned how to roll on the first day, and I would rather be swimming. So that being said, you know, it's pretty much inflatables only for me. I love duckying. I love rafting. Cataracting is probably like the least frequent thing that I've done. I love creature crafting too. It really just depends on what kind of water you're on, you know. Like, you played a video of mine, a week or two ago from the Illinois River at 20,000 CFS. And, you know, like, you either have to be, you know, a crazy good kayaker or be in a creature craft, or you just die on that run at 20,000. Now, if you go in under 1,000, you know, like, you can raft at, you know, the Illinois at what, 700-800 CFS.
I've done it. I love 650 personally. It's one of my favorite flows. And we've done trips as low as 400 or 500. So you can raft it pretty low.
Totally. And you know, so like, I've ran into issues. I ran the Illinois 2 years in a row at 430 on Kirby. Exactly. And the rock fence, the entrance to Greenwall was like 2 feet difference on the rocks. And it was just because one of the years it was 430 and it had rained a week earlier.
Yeah.
And then the other year it was 430 and it hadn't rained for like a month. So it was, you know, there was no tributaries coming in, and it was, you know, like, I don't know, like at least 50% more water with the exact same gauge reading.
The gauge is deceiving. There's a wet 2000 or a dry 2000.
Exactly.
A wet 2000 is more like 2,500 and a dry 2000 is more like 1600.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So it just depends on the flow, you know, like if we're running something big, then, you know, like, you need a bigger boat. And if it's not big, then you need a smaller boat, you know? So that's what I do.
Do you sup?
funny enough, I just started working on a line of camping specific sups, that are designed to better tie down gear than anything that I've seen on the market so far. And I'm testing those right now. So kind of no, but I'm just getting into it.
Okay, I want to come back to this.
Okay.
Do you pack raft?
Just started pack rafting as well. We just released our line of pack rafts called the Chetco. I've got three versions. There's everyone should be familiar with Tizip at this point. So the new pack raft weighs 16 pounds, Gino. And there's one with no tie zip, and then there's a version with one tie zipper that goes into the front compartment, and then there's tie zip at both ends for loading your gear inside of the boat, since the boat is so small, that way that there's actually room for you to still be in the boat with it.
Is it the same shape as your Ugly Duckling, or is it a different shape?
Pretty much the same shape. It looks more like a U because the ends are just as steep, but the boat is shorter.
Okay. And so can you explain Tizip? Because I don't think everybody's familiar. Pack rafters know what this is. I don't think the regular rafter knows what this is.
Yeah. So Tizip is their zippers made in Germany. So currently all of my products are made in China. I import my valves from Lee Field in the United Kingdom. And I import the Tizip zippers from Germany, and they're an airtight zipper. Their zippers go up to 7 PSI. So you unzip the Tizip and you actually go like right inside the tube, and you can, you know, load gear. We've loaded a ton of gear, like camping chairs, tents, pillows, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Camping chairs. You mean like those ones that collapse?
Oh, full on. Yeah. We put three camping chairs, I think a tent, and then two memory foam pillows inside one side of the pack raft.
Okay. So I'm not going to call it a pack raft. I'm still going to call it a ducky.
I mean, you can call it whatever you want.
Like the air back raft, I don't call that a pack raft. I call that a lightweight ducky.
Sure. But you know that like half of the boaters around don't even call my boat a ducky. They call it a raft.
I don't call it a raft. I call it a ducky.
Yeah.
I don't worry. You sit down. It's one person. You use a paddle. That's a ducky.
Yeah. Just don't call it a hard shell.
It's not a hard shell. So I never call it that. Okay. Wait. We're bouncing off a pace. I have another question. I'm going to my list of questions. Is it a ducky in inflatable kayak or a high performance inflatable kayak?
I feel like ducky is just kind of an overall term for anything. And then you get into like, what is performance? Like some people like a more nimble boat, and my boat's not nimble, you know, like my boat is more forgiving than nimble boats are. So it's just kind of, you get what you want, you know, like is an Air Force a high performance ducky, you know, like you can't call an Air Force high performance and my boat high performance. It's like,
I mean,
like, what is it?
Well, the reason we came up with, I think, Ted's referring to us calling it high performance inflatable craft, because I feel like the problem with duckies, I love duckies. I think we're both on the same page that they're a very smart way to boat for a lot of reasons. But I think a lot of people don't use them because they don't have cool names, either ducky or inflatable kayak. It doesn't sound cool. And so we tried renaming them high performance inflatable craft, whether it's a Cronin or some super high performance thing.
Sure.
So what would you call, to make duckies cool again, or I guess they never were cool, to make duckies cool, how can we rename them to make them cool?
I mean, I'm uncool, whatever.
You're fine. Like, you're just like, duckies aren't cool. Let's just go with it. And
yeah, like who cares? Like we're out having fun on the river. That's all that matters to me.
Okay, cool. Another question. So back to one thing I want to ask is, California is going to be big water this year. We're looking at a massive California season. I know you started boating in California and you creature craft a lot in California. Looking at the snowpack, do you have big creature craft plans?
I'm in a life transition right now, so I'm not getting out on the water nearly as much as I want to. I'm pushing hard for a new career, and creature crafting, unfortunately, is taking a backseat, and I don't think that I'm going to be able to get out this year. Which is really unfortunate.
Is the new career flying or something else?
It's flying. Yeah. So I got my instrument rating in January, and I got my commercial license in March. My new job starts in, I don't know, anywhere from like a week to a month.
Okay. So what's happening with Cronin? It seems like you were pushing it really hard a few years ago. It's been a little quiet because you started flying. It feels like when you started flying a lot, you weren't pushing this hard. Are you going to keep pushing Cronin at the same time and fly?
Totally. Yeah. Cronin's not going anywhere. It's been a great ride. I've been doing it since 2017, and I plan on doing it forever. There's nothing in any flying job that I've found at any level of flying that would prevent me from doing it. You know, like worst case scenario, you know, people order a boat and it's just going to take, you know, like 2 or 3 days extra for me to ship it. But I usually ship boats the same day anyway, so my slow shipping will be just basically like everybody else's.
And are people buying them direct from you? Or I know you used to sell them through other retailers, or is it more through other retailers?
I've got a bunch of retailers. I'm trying to bring on a couple more. Class 5 has sold my boats, Moravia or Cascade, I should say. I think it's Utah Whitewater Gear is coming on this year. I'm trying to think of Golden River Sports, Goodwater Boatworks. I've got several retailers. They're all up on my website, croninginflatables.com. You can check it out. And I definitely recommend people, if you've got someone close to you, go through your local retailers.
That's easier for you. If you're flying, like you won't have time to ship something right away always where retail is good.
If the retailer's got stock, that could definitely expedite. I can't even think of that word right now.
Expedite
things. Expedite. There you go. Expedite things for you. It, I just want to support our anyone that's supporting me. I want to support. So if you're close to a retailer, like go through them. All of our retailers are awesome.
And so I want to go back to one more thing you said. You said you import the valves from the UK. You import the zippers from Germany. Does that mean they go from there to China?
Correct.
And then, so you talk to the factory in China and say, hey, you got a shipment of zippers coming in. Here's how I want you to use them, put them on. And then they send the boats to you in California.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I do all the design work, you know, like have to work with them, and there's always something wrong. You know, like I have to fix things that they, you know, think is better or more efficient. And you know, like there's reasons the boats are designed the way that they are. So, you know, always tweaking like little changes year to year, but you know, primarily the boat, I've been really happy with it. It's done way more than I thought it was going to do when I designed it. And, you know, I'm really happy to keep it going.
So are there any East Coast retailers?
Right now, I believe PRO in Fayetteville, West Virginia is my only one. Talk to Bobby. We used to have Southern Raft Supply, but they went out of business a few years ago. I think that's it for the East Coast.
Okay. This is actually my next question. Thanks for asking. So your regular Cronins are PVC, right?
Correct.
Are the pack rafts the same thing, just thinner, or something else
completely? No. So the pack rafts are made out of, you know, basically the same material that, you know, all of the Chinese imports are made out of. It's a 400 denier single-sided nylon TPU. And then the floors are made out of 800 denier. Something that I haven't found, you know, I'm not real up on other pack rafts. We have a full length I-beam floor. So it really fills the bottom of the compartment, which aids in draining.
And so the new Chetco boat isn't on the website right now.
It is. You just scroll down. Should be there.
Oh, there it is. Chetco pack rafts.
Yeah. Don't have a ton of pictures. There's if you bring up the Facebook website, where is that? There's a couple pictures of the Chetco. I need to get more up. Like I said, you know, just super busy and.
But people can buy them right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're in stock, ready to go.
And so this, you're saying this is, I'm guessing you're claiming this is the ultimate boat for the Chetco.
You know, it's the style of boat that I make. You know, it's not the most nimble, you know, if you get, you know, an alpaca or something, you know, they're shaped more like a kayak. They're more nimble. They're more carvy. Someone with an alpaca described my boat as more like a Jeep, which I think I agree with in general on the design. It just kind of, you know, like tanks over things rather than being on a motorcycle.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you on this. Like I think the design is brilliant. I was trying to give you a softball there to say, yeah, it's the ultimate thing. This is the boat that I designed specifically for the Chetco.
Yeah.
It is pretty much the same thing without the rocker.
Sure.
Like it's wide, big tubes, a lot of volume in the bow and the stern to go over drops.
Right.
It's not like super maneuverable, but when you're going over steep drops, it's very, very forgiving. Would you agree? I mean, that's, I feel like, and I haven't tried your boat on the Chetco before. But I feel like,
yeah, I mean, I personally wouldn't call anything on the Chetco a big drop.
I think not like a big waterfall or anything.
Sure.
But you go over some vertical drops of like 6 feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so like for me, I don't want a pointy end of my boat. Like if there's a pointy end, I go over a drop like that, I'm going to pencil in somehow. I want to just plow over things.
Yeah.
And I might do like a 4 foot drop onto rocks. If I have a big bulbous front, I just kind of go over and plow over it versus my little pointy nose sticking into something.
Right. And, you know, that's kind of the, what we found, works so well with the big raised bow. It already starts you wanting to go back up. So even when you land on, you know, I've gone off, you know, 10 or 15 foot drops before and landed in, you know, inches of water and like the boat hits and just kind of like slips out, rather than, you know, penciling in and stopping for the most part.
It's on that topic. Do you know what the biggest descent in a pack raft is?
I don't know. I shared a screen with you. I can scroll over I need to.
You know, we just let's just start where we're at. Like, let's just, I know you have some photos you want to share.
Yeah, yeah. So this is hiking into Opal Creek. And so it's not the best picture, but you can see that the boats are just kind of inside out. And you use the thigh straps to turn the boat into a backpack. So you don't need any extra equipment with you. Like when we got to put in, we just pumped up the boat and then just kept going. And then I think, yeah,
when
there
you
we
say,
go.
When you say just pump the boat, kept going, it was ready to go. You don't have to install a bunch of things.
Exactly. It's just nothing like, had to be moved.
Set it on the ground, pump it up, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. You do have to like rearrange the thigh straps because the thigh straps hold the roll together. So you just undo one side of the thigh strap, put it together. So this is Fluffy Bunny. There was like four kayakers that went with us. They opted to portage, and luckily we got some pictures from it. This is the South Silver. I took a bunch of, you know, like class three boaters up and we ran laps on Audubon. And then everybody hiked out. I don't know if you've run Audubon, but it's crazy fun. This is my best friend's daughter who I think was like 14 or 15 at the time.
Wow.
And then this is the teacups down below that section. So only two of us that day continued down. To this day, I believe this is Skyscraper.
Oh, so this this looks like five different boats to me. This is one boat, Superin's boat.
One road, one run. So I'm pretty sure that the Ugly Ducky is the only boat that's run Skyscraper. Only Ducky that's run Skyscraper top to bottom. Usually you can see where the second boat is. People will lower down there at lower flows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but no one that I could find knows of anyone or has ever heard of anyone running it from the top.
In a ducky.
Yeah. Okay. Kayakers run it all the time. There was a supper that ran it. He just kind of fell off at the top and then bounced on the whole thing.
I remember that.
You know. So this is another thing the Ugly Ducky does really well. This white cooler here in the bottom right hand corner. I've been telling people it's 146 quart cooler, but I think it's actually 175. It's the biggest Big Sky cooler that NRS ever made. And this is a double duck that it's in. That cooler weighed 300 pounds when we put it into that. And that's a two person ducky.
You put one person in it. It's a two person ducky, but one person was in it with the cooler.
With a 175 quart cooler. Correct.
Okay.
So another picture, same boat, still other gear on top of that. This white boat in the background, that's a Yeti 105. So that's a 68 quart cooler, I believe. And that's a regular large. And Wes is paddling that boat. He's like 6'2", 6'3", I think, something like that. This is a picture of the Chetco. This is one of the prototypes. That is Boat Eater. This is a small Ugly Ducky with my friend Megan, who's I think 5'1", 5'2". Mm-hmm. That's an 80-pound dog in the front, as well as all the rest of her gear. And that is the small. That boat's only 9 feet long. This is the loop trail at Pine Flat. So from the top somewhere. This is the
why show that photo? Did you hike in there? Did you hike out there?
Yeah. So I do a 5-day trip. The first week of June for anyone that has, you know, any Cronin boat. So if you've got a pack raft or, you know, a regular Ugly Ducky or anything, I plan the whole trip. It's not like I pay just as much as everybody else does. I just arrange the shuttle and plan all the food for people and then bring people that have never been down. We've had flows from, like I was telling you earlier, I think we put on at 600 by the time we got to Greenwall, it was 430. And the lowest we put on was 175 in the first week of June. And it's definitely a different experience. You know, like we were talking about earlier, am I a ducky or a creature crafter? It's a ducky only zone at that flow, like by far. This is one of the days we did a layover and did this 10 or 11 mile hike at Pine Flat. This is Pillow Rock Golly Fest a couple years ago. This is, I think there's only maybe six people that have ever run this waterfall. This is the Little Kern. So anyone that's ever run the forks of the Kern has put in on the last 100 yards of the Little Kern. And so we put in, I can't remember, like 8 or 15 miles upriver of there. And it's a pretty gnarly portage fest. You know, we got a 30-foot waterfall that I don't think anyone had ever run before. The first ascent was in the 80s in glass boats. So I'm pretty sure those guys walked around this. And then the year before we did this, there was two guys that went in with, I can't remember if they were both air back rafts, but they went and portaged most things. I'm pretty sure they portaged this because it was just the two of them. And then a bunch of us, those back rafts did end up running it. And everyone was successful except for the hard shell.
Why was the hard shell not successful? Because
he just, so let me go back. So you see, there's kind of like the area off to the right of me. So he landed, flipped upside down, and then got pushed up against the wall and couldn't roll up.
Okay.
So this is just pitfalls. Everyone's done pitfalls. This
slide. I haven't. Everyone but me.
Everyone but you. Everyone in Northern California has probably done pitfalls. So this is the slide. It's a great run. This is like the easiest, best intro waterfall that you can go down. It's just a really steep slide that almost no one ever swims on, though I've swam on it. Cal Salmon, I think this was like 2,500 CFS. I'm coming out of the bomb shelter right there. And, this is just a boat that was, sent back. Cronin offers a 3-year no fault warranty. So this boat actually fell off of a truck and bounced. It ended up with 13 holes in it.
Wow.
You have to pay the shipping to get it back to me, but then I do all the repair work for free. So put 13 patches on it and sent it back to him. And I think he took it out in the desert last December.
Is that a kayak or the raft?
This is just the regular ugly ducky.
Okay. It looks really big. But it's hard to tell scale, I guess.
Yeah, 12-inch tubes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the last picture of my slideshow.
So for self-support ducky trips, what would you say are like the classic ones people should, if they got a Cronin, it would really open the world up for them to do.
I recommend, you know, I really like the pack rafts for packability. I can't for the life of me understand why people are so into pack rafting, quote unquote pack rafting, that don't actually pack raft. Like they run roadside runs.
Like they do the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Like, if you hike in,
Yeah, and then, but they do the whole, like, people do exactly. Where everybody's in a pack raft, like Lee's Ferry to Diamond or whatever.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense. So like the Ugly Ducky is the best all around boat, in my opinion. If you're going to hike in, the pack raft is great. The Chetco is great. It's like a third of the weight, like a third to, a half the weight, depending on which version you have. Mm-hmm. This white one right here is a large. So basically, like, if you want to do a bunch of, kayak camping, I would recommend a large for anyone that is, say, like 5'6" and over. If you're under that, like you saw Megan with the 80 pound dog, and this is a small, so clearly it can be done. You know, she's got a couple of dry bags and a dog, and you know, like whatever other gear she has stuffed in there. A large, I think the Ugly Ducky's, the standard one is the way to go. Unless you're doing something weird, like that giant cooler, that is, a two person. But I don't recommend that. It's super hard to navigate low flows, especially. It's just like a barge that doesn't want to move when you have that much weight in it. I think that boat weighed like 700 pounds, including me and the cooler and everything.
Is like, where would you suggest people go? Where's an awesome place for a Cronin? Like, let's say they get a Cronin inflatable, they want to do an overnight trip. Where's a classic place to take this thing?
Oh man, I'm a sucker for the Illinois. Illinois is the best, but you got to be capable in order to do that. You know, the Tuolumne is great. If it opens up this year, I heard they've had some slides and there might not be a Tuolumne season. Forks of the Kern is great. I've hiked in two times other than that little Kern trip, and done low flows. And you know, you don't need mules or anything like a raft. Really just depends on where you are. You know, like there's just so much stuff, so many places. And, I'm unfortunately only really familiar with the West Coast. We did do the Selway at, I think 0.85 feet we put on. And, I think that's a little bit low. I don't think I'd go back under 1.5. Although we put on with like a dozen 14 foot boats, and I wouldn't even take a ducky back at that flow. It's just too low. Phenomenal scenery. And if you like fishing, like best fishing I've ever seen outside of a trout farm.
I mean, the beauty of this to me, I love these kind of trips. Like I'm into them, is you don't bring that much stuff. Like let's keep things. I mean, you have a cooler, so you're not super light, but
sure.
You don't have like big chairs and tables and like awnings. Like let's keep things pretty simple. So when you get to camp, it's pretty easy to set camp up. And then you sleep. Do you guys sleep in the duckies?
Some people do. I was actually just thinking there's I'm not going to be able to find it right now. If you go on the Cronin Inflatables Facebook page and search.
I'm not going to open up Facebook Live. It's just weird. It's a weird path.
But if you just go onto the Cronin page and then go to the Generation Gap, we actually turned one of the duckies into a hammock. So we just put straps at both ends and hung it from a tree. It was actually like pretty phenomenal. There's two of us, like 400 pounds. It maintains its shape, its rigidity. And we were just like hanging out in the shade, like swinging under a tree. But yeah, when I hiked into the Chetco, which is why I made the Chetco, I don't want to hike another ugly ducky in 10 miles. It's pretty brutal.
It's
pretty rough. Brutal. Yeah. We all slept in the boats. We just had like a tarp that we covered up with. We didn't even bring a tent, and it's great. You know, like it's not as good as like a Paco pad. But if you don't want to carry in extra gear, it's better than a lot of other options.
Here's a question. In the big cooler boat, was that the Illinois?
This is the Illinois, the one that's up.
This one will add that right there is the Illinois.
Yeah, that's
and the other that one with the double. Is this the double ducky we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, the mother ducker. Yeah. So the one that I'm in, the black and red one, is the two person. And then the one in the background that's being rowed is a boat with no name.
Okay. And will it always be the boat with no name? Like if I came up with a name cool enough, could I give it a name?
It's been called a couple of different things. I've actually like had the idea that we should do like a naming contest and like a giveaway. Speaking of which, we need to pick someone from the comments. I can't even see the comments.
Oh, you can't?
Yeah, I can't see them. But we need to figure out some sort of way like, but pick a name at random. I trust you to be.
I'm not going to pick a name. How about if we do a trivia question?
Trivia question. And then the first answer. I love it.
I think we need a trivia. Trivia questions are fun, but it has to be a trivia question that people can't just look up. They can't just Google it. So it has to be a photo of a place and they have to guess where it is. That's what I found is the best. It's like choose a really eccentric photo.
A photo of a place.
And then like, you, like,
do you want to throw something up? Yeah. It'll be easier for you.
Okay. I will do while we keep going. I'll do some searching and see what I have.
And I want to chime in on, the last podcast I listened to with the naming terminology about moving about a river.
Do it.
Okay. Do it. So I feel like you guys overcomplicated that like dramatically. So like my thought is like, why not just, it's like, what is the boat doing? Right. So like if the boat's floating and you're in an eddy and you're going up river, like you're going up river. Right. Uh-huh. And if you're in the current, you're going down river. You're going down river. So like you could be facing down river, floating down river and rowing up river, but you're still moving down river. Right. So it's like, what's
okay, hold on, before we get too far. So, cause people who are on this probably have no idea what we're talking about. we've been teaching the past month, like 6 weeks classes. We've teaching people how to row. And so we find there's some nomenclature difficulties between instructors. And so we need to, in order to explain things to our students that's consistent, we're trying to name what, if we're like facing downstream and pushing on the oars, what is that called? And if we're facing downstream and pulling on the oars, what is that called? And if we're facing upstream and pulling downstream on the oars, what is that called? That's what Matt's referring to. And so he was, I think, frustrated with our really complicated discussion. But I had to get complicated because we've had this discussion so many times and we needed to really sort this out, the most complex. Like, we needed to look at it holistically. And
sure.
I think, and this is specific to rowing.
Yeah.
So if there's laterals, like you have to leave some laterals for some reason, you know, there's like a V headed to a rock. And if you got laterals.
Totally.
And I need to describe to somebody how to do it. I need a term. I need to say, do this thing.
So, I mean, why isn't it just like the direction and then what the person's doing? So like
push downstream,
push upstream. Yeah. Like push through the laterals on the left or pull through the laterals on the left, you know, like, or like row upstream to river right. So like, even if your boat's floating downstream, that means that you want to like slow.
Hold on. Right. If you want to break laterals and you say push through the laterals, I agree with that. But that's assuming you're pushing faster than the current downstream.
It doesn't really matter. Like, it's what the rower's doing, right? Like, you're pushing, even if you're not strong enough to break through the laterals, that's what you're trying to do. Push through the laterals on the left.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm with you. Like, so what I was trying to get to is we basically use one of three terms most of the time. Push through things, which is generally faster than the current.
Sure.
Or we pull away from things, which is slower than the current.
Sure.
Or if we turn around backwards and pull downstream, what are we doing?
Same thing. You know, like if there's laterals on the left, say like pull through the laterals on the left. And so like you have to be facing downstream because you're pulling, right?
You're facing upstream in that case.
Yeah. So exactly. So if you want them to pull through, you say pull through. And if you want them to pull away, like if there's a rock, pull away from the rock on river left.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you. So to me, it's like push, pull. Like push is speeding up faster than the current. Pull is going slower than the current.
Right.
The only time that gets confusing is when you turn around and you're pulling downstream to break through laterals. That historically has been called the downstream ferry.
Sure. And then it's like, then now you're dealing with other people. So part of my flying career is I just did the last test I took was about, it's called the fundamentals of instruction. And it's like, you have to have common language with the person that you're teaching. So like when you say ferry, like now you have to have a discussion about what ferry means, you know, cause like people used to ferry across the river. Right. And that's, you just take a boat across the river. So when you're saying like ferry upstream, like through laterals, that they're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't even understand what you're saying.
That's why I'm trying to have the conversation. So we have a common language because it's important. Yeah.
And I think the whole like ferrying term and there's a bunch of other things like flair people put on their specific ways they speak, like all that's extra. To me, it's really like where the boat's going and what the person is doing. So if there's laterals downstream on the left, you can say push through the laterals on the left or back away from the laterals on the left. And it's like that, like you can't misunderstand.
I agree with you, but some people are saying you need to say push downstream through the laterals on the left. When I'm saying what you said, all you need to say is push through the laterals on the left. People know when I say push through the laterals on the left, that it is downstream.
Totally.
But other people are telling me you have to say push downstream through the laterals on the left. But to me, downstream is assumed. So you don't have to say that.
Yeah. So like we're moving downriver, right? Like we're river rafters. Like we go downriver. That's where we go unless you say something different. So to me, saying downstream in that context doesn't add anything to the sentence.
I agree with you 100%. Okay. That's what I was trying to get those guys to.
Yeah.
But they're telling me, no, this says push downstream with a downstream angle. They're using all these fancy terms.
Yeah. What's a downstream? If you're pushing downstream, there has to be a downstream angle. So you're just adding in words that don't change the sentence at all.
I agree with you. So I was trying to make the case to them that all these terminology they need to use can be broken down generally to push, pull, and downstream ferry.
Sure.
That's most of what we do. Let's stick with that terminology. But I've been
But what does downstream ferry mean? I don't even know what that means.
Downstream ferry is when you turn your boat around and pull downstream. When you're facing upstream.
So ferrying, is it different in different contexts? Hold on.
Yes. So downstream ferry is improperly named. It should not be called the downstream ferry. It's just historically been called that. So we're going to go with it. But okay. When I say ferrying, that means ferrying historically means getting from one side of the river to the other. But in the context of whitewater boating, it means getting to one side from one side of the river to the other without losing much downstream distance. So like going slower in the current and ferrying across.
Gotcha.
So if I just cross the river, that's technically a ferry. But if I say, hey, ferry across the river, I'm saying cross the river slower in the current so you can catch the highest eddy you can. That's how kayakers use the term. That's how it's generally used.
Gotcha.
Ferrying. Well, we're Portland paper. We're going to get into this. I don't know if we want to get into this. But you could also, you could say punch the laterals on the left. And the person could choose whether to do it on a forward or a downstream ferry. They could choose the way that would be simple information. But sometimes you want to be very direct with somebody because they don't know technique.
Right.
Matt, we're getting into a conversation I've spent probably 10 hours on the past month with like 30 different people. And so I'd rather talk to you about other stuff than just downstream ferry nonsense.
Sure.
I'm gonna work on a photo. God, it's so hard. Somebody even wanted me to make this fair for East Coast boaters, which is really hard.
I'm actually looking for a photo, and that'll be my hint, is it's on the East Coast.
All right, there you go. You can find the photo.
I'm trying to find it.
If you're pushing through something that requires you to be pointed, so these aren't complete sentences, that makes it really hard. If you're pulling through something that requires you to face upstream, if you're pulling, well, you can pull and be faced downstream. That's ferrying. Using term ferry always replies. So Ranger Steve, I am with you. I'm with you. There are people that disagree with this. And so I've had to talk these people off a cliff. So I think I have. I think most of us agree. I think 80% of boaters agree with you and Matt and I about terminology. But the other 20% is just throwing a fit right now. So it's tough. ferrying means move from one side. Yeah, absolutely. But in a whitewater context, it's generally used as saying going slower than the current from one side to the other so you don't float very far downstream. So if I want you to cross the river, I'm going to say cross the river. If I'm going to say ferry across the river, I'm going to want you to go slower than the current so that you don't go very far downstream. You catch the highest eddy you can. And that comes from kayaking instruction, and I'm not going to get into it. Every time you say pins eclipse, a ferry dies. Wait, that's fine. Wait, Matt runs Pins Eclipse too, right?
Pins Eclipse on creature crafts is the only way to go.
But when you do, you ever row regular rafts?
It just kind of depends. Like sometimes I won't switch out to oar rights. I've got both. I like oar rights better in rafts. But I don't have an issue at all with.
Matt, did you learn it at creature craft?
No.
Okay. What did you learn in?
I trained. So like I started rafting. I got taken by a volunteer group. It's an outreach program through the Sierra Club.
Uh-huh.
And so I learned in high side rafts in like 2010. That was basically my only experience.
But that was paddle boating.
That was paddle guiding.
Okay. How did you learn to row?
I pick things up pretty quickly. I never took a row class or anything. It's just, you just apply your paddle guiding skills to yourself. You just do what you know needs to be done.
Okay. Hey, I have a trivia one.
I've actually got two photos.
I like this one because it kind of plays off.
I got you.
So like we could do this one or we could do yours.
No, do that one. Do that. That's good. I'm going to actually double my giveaway. So I'm going to give one to West Coast people and one to East Coast people. So that's the one for the West Coast.
Somebody put a picture of giant cat. Okay. So whoever can tell us the most information about this in the next 2 minutes. So we're not going to be any hints. Like information you give us is like the state, the river, the waterway, the a person in the photo. If you know what kind of wood that is, the watershed. Like, if you can give me, whoever can give us the most information about this is a winner. And so we'll take 2 minutes to figure this out. Here's some guesses. I mean, you guys can guess just one thing. Like this, for example, you might want to try to get more detail in your guess, right? Because if somebody else guesses Giant Gap with a red boat, they're going to win, right? Here we go. North Fork of the American. Okay, cool. Kern is a question. Yep. Somebody says put a picture of super locations. Yeah. Yeah, you can just say the state, whatever you want to do. Whoever has the most correct information is going to win a prize. Matt, you know this is, right?
I know exactly where that is.
Okay, cool. Whoa, this is an interesting answer. Big fluffy sea launch with Zach on the North Fork South Branch American River with a big log of hemlock. It's an interesting guess. It's a really interesting guess. This is West Coast. I think we're going to do a second giveaway for East Coasters.
Yeah.
What's the prize, by the way? Do you need to tell us the prize?
So how many people do we have listening?
We have 37.
37. So it's going to be a $250 gift certificate. And then we'll do one for the East and one for the West.
Okay. So two gift certificates total.
Total.
Okay. Guys, get your guesses in for this one. We'll give it another minute or so and then we'll move on to the next one. So I know that discussion we had annoyed you on our last show, Matt, because you told me so. You're like, that was insane.
Sure.
But sometimes we really have to just have these hard fought battles to get some agreement on terminology. And it's, you're right, with flying, the terminology is really important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like it's important too. Like people love boating, so it's important to us, right? But like when you're trying to, you know, like when you're boating with people that you know and you say downstream ferry, like people are going to know, your boaters are going to know what you mean. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to speak universally in a group or you're bringing new people into it, you need to use simple, plain language to like bring them on board. And then if they like become friends of yours or maybe they're at like an advanced rowing class, they'll hear you like add some flair onto what you're saying. And then you're like, oh, you know, he wants me to pull downstream through the laterals on the right. And he's just adding like with a downstream ferry, you know? So like, but it needs to be simple to start with, you know, at least that way there's like a universal thing. It's like, you know, you watch reels and people talk about like different slang and it's, you know, every older generation is like, man, these kids, you know, like they have all these crazy words. And it's like, we all did the same thing. Like it's just different slang from a different time. But if you use plain English, you know, people know what you're talking about. And then when you're in the right context, you can add to it with whatever you want.
Yeah. So for me, when we teach class three boaters, we teach push and pull. Pushing is fast in the current, pulling is slower in the current. Right. We're assuming you're facing downstream, push and pull. It's that easy.
Right.
And then in our class four school, we add this thing we call the downstream ferry, which we define. Like, hey, you guys learned push and pull already. Now let's add this new thing that's turning your boat around and pulling downstream. And we're going to give it this terminology that is not technically correct because it's not a ferry by the classic definition of a ferry, but it's the terminology used.
So in that context, you're just using ferry instead of downstream. You're not saying pull downstream. You're saying pull with the downstream ferry.
I'm saying pull downstream at an angle. That's the right terminology.
Right.
That's right. Actually correct. But it's colloquially, is that the right word? Is it colloquially?
Colloquially. Something like that.
It's generally called a downstream ferry. In the Grand Canyon, they call it that. When I learned in California, we all called it that. Like,
yeah,
it's just the thing. All right. So we have a winner. Gene wins.
That is correct.
He was actually with Oregon. He was the most correct so far.
Yeah.
Like watching all these. What's really interesting, and I saw this one, the rapid is big fluffy, but he didn't.
It's the wrong river. I was like, do I have the name wrong?
I don't think Dan knew. I think he used big fluffy. separately than the name of the rapid. This was the rapid that Matt shared with earlier.
Isn't it Fluffy Bunny?
I thought it was Big Fluffy.
I think it's Fluffy Bunny.
Maybe it's Fluffy Bunny. Anyway, this is the same rapid that where the kayaks were portaging and Matt was running it in his ugly ducky earlier. So, Gene, you're the winner with Opal Creek. It's not Ruckachucky Falls. It's not even close. Gene, can you just contact you through your website to get
the certificate? I'll get Gino.
Cool. Oh, you know him. Okay, so cool. We got one. Are you ready to show your next one?
Yeah, it's up. It's that picture.
Okay. Man, I don't even know where this is. That's tough. Oh, do we have a hint though, right? We know.
Something. I think that is pretty noticeable. I think that people on the East Coast will be able to get that.
So it's an East Coast rapid.
That is 100% an East Coast rapid.
Man, I feel like I should know what it is. Just, I'm gonna can I take one guess, and if I'm right, we'll just
change. I won't tell you. You can guess.
Well, I don't want to.
Well, because you won't know if it's right.
Okay, my guess. Okay, you're right. Is that my guess is Upper Gauley, West Virginia, and that rapid Iron Ring. That's my guess.
Good guess. I'll clue everyone in at the end.
Okay. Okay, there's some. Here we go. Oh, here's some. Oh, Jared, now you got it. Oh man, Jared, you were just a little too late, buddy. I'm so sorry. That's great info right there. Just a little too late. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess. Do you know what the flow was on Opal? I'm gonna guess like 1,000.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's some Upper Gauley flows in the New River. Oh, that's good information.
Lots of Upper Gauley guesses.
Green River. I don't think it's the Green. Gauley release level. There are three different names for the same rapids in this river. I live on the French Broad. Lost Paddle. Ooh. Interesting. New Pillow. Oh, cool, Jared. It's going to be a beautiful weekend of boat, man. It's going to be a stunning weekend of boating. The River Gorge. The Pillow Rock Approach. Oh, man. That's an interesting guess. That's an interesting guess. Coey. All right. Do you have enough guesses to, should we wait another minute?
Well, since we're giving it away to the person that comes the closest, I can say that no one is even close.
What?
No one has even put the right state in there yet.
Okay. So it's not West Virginia.
It's not Tennessee.
It's not Tennessee. Oh man. Okay. My new guess is that's a tough one. I'm going to say East Coast. So I have some information.
Yeah.
Brown water, boating an ugly ducky with a Werner paddle. what other info do I have from this photo? I wonder if I can see what kind of helmet that is. Gray shirt. Oh, here we go. Here's more guesses. Russell Fork, Chioa.
So since no one's guessed it yet and we're kind of out of time, I'm gonna start giving out hints, and the first person to get at least the river right, we'll give it to. So
Upper Yauk.
It's northeast.
Is it Maine?
It's in Maine.
Is it the? Let me guess.
I'm not gonna tell you if you get it, but I want to at least get the river. It's a known rapid. It's, I think, the biggest rapid on that run, maybe. That's not it. Nope.
Moose River. So there's also, there's like a minute or two delay. So what we're saying now.
Oh, with that, I got you.
So we're not going to, so in a minute, we'll get a bunch of answers. After this is done, we're going to shut this show down. Matt, thanks for being our first guest, by the way.
Totally. Yeah. What? I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no, and I'm so always fascinated by Cronin and like you, but also like what you're doing with Cronin Inflatables. What's the thing you're most excited about right now? Like, are you making some new product? Are you focused on selling the Chetco? What's the thing you're like most into right now?
You know, I just like I said earlier, I love everything but hard shelling, and only for the reason that I don't
Do you not like hard? Are you anti hard shelling?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I do not have a solid roll, so I will not boat a hard shell on whitewater.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying. For in any other context, they're great. Like they are more maneuverable. They are capable of more stuff. They're in my opinion, not as fun because to me, they're more stressful. Maybe that when you get good at it, you know, like the stress kind of peters out. But you know, like, and I've had a lot of people confirm that, you know, like hard shelling is more stressful because you have to be on your lines more and you have to worry about rolling up and like, maybe you're going to drag your face on rocks while you're still stuck in the boat and, you know, all those different kinds of issues. So, I think hard shells are great. It's just not for me. So like duckying, rafting, catarafting, creature crafting, it's all good for me, man. As long as you're getting on the river. I don't understand why one person pigeonholes themselves. Anyway, back to your question more specifically. Sorry, I get sidetracked. So I'm working on a sup design. I am working on a tube design. That's something, a new spin on the tubes that are out. It's a kind of a next level tube. And that will probably be coming out later this year or maybe beginning of next year. We tested out some surfboards that I designed, wow, which those definitely need a lot more work. And then we have the sups coming out that are specifically for sup camping. You know, like I've got a whitewater one we're testing and a flat water boat that we're testing. I want to get over and do the East Fork Carson on a sup. I think that'll be a great run to test them out.
That'd be amazing.
So I'm really excited for the sups. I've never really supped before and it is kind of fun. Like I'm not sure how I'll feel about doing, you know, like actual whitewater on one, maybe some easier stuff. I supped granite on the canyon when we went last year and, you know, like I think I made like two or three laterals before I ate it. But you know, like that's just kind of to be expected when you're doing something that big. Any more guesses coming up so we can get out of here?
Yeah. Hey, I gotta tell you, I went through like a 3-year supping phase where I pretty much only whitewater supped. I did a little kayaking, a little rafting.
Sure.
It is fun. It is really, it's hard, but it makes class 2 and 3 really fun.
That's what I'm talking about. It's the right, right boat for the right river and the right flow, you know?
Okay. Here's our guesses. Penobscot.
That's correct. Neil won.
Oh, Neil got it a long time ago. Oh, sweet baby. You got it just a little bit too late. Man, nobody else. Oh, here we go. Tim got it too. But Neil.
Whoever's first in line.
Yep. Neil Gibolt. Gibolt.
Hey, Neil, would you do me a favor and just send a direct message over to Facebook or something? Or you can look up my website, Cronin Inflatables, and I'll hook you up. So this is Cribworks on the Penobscot. And I can't remember what the flow is. I did this with Ryan Waterhouse and a few other people. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Neil even got the rapid name.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, that rapid intimidated me a little bit.
Yeah, man, it does kind of look like pillow from like a low water. Like for it kind of a little bit has that vibe. I see that for a sec. But yeah, it's definitely not. Well, Matt, thanks for joining. Everybody who followed, who has watched this live, thank you for all your comments, your questions. Take a second, like, subscribe, do all the things. And we'll see you all next week. And Matt, thanks. Thank you so much for taking time to join and share what you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me, Zach. Look forward to the next one. Have a good day. Later, everyone.